Ayatollah Behjat, rahmatullah alayh, he says that after, of course, you know, practicing the wajibat and the muharramat, the things that are obligatory upon you and the things that are haram upon us, after practicing that, the smallest and the easiest action that one can do is send salawat on the Holy Prophet and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And he says this is something that if a person is able to do it with love for the Holy Prophet, with love for his family, if we're able to do this, this is one of the best ways for us to be able to increase the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Is that not what we're looking for? Are we not looking to be able to reach a point where we're able to give up anything for the sake of Allah? أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who's taken their own nafs as their Lord? That is where I stand right now, perhaps. But I want to be able to reach a point where it's لَا إِلَاهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, that I don't care about any other Lord. I don't want to worship anything. I don't want to worship my own desires. I don't want to worship my nafs. I don't want to worship the norms of society. I don't want to worship anything else. La ilaha illallah. So Ayatollah Behjat rahmatullah alayh is saying that one of the best ways for us to do that is to send the salawat after, of course, the wajibat and the muharramat. So that's the salawat. Moving on to the next part of the munajat, where he says, wasma' du'a'i إِذَا دَعَوْتُكَ وَاسْمَعْ نِدَائِي إِذَا نَادَيْتُكَ أَقْبِلْ عَلَيَّ إِذَا نَاجَيْتُكَ. O Allah, if I call out to you, then listen to me. وَاسْمَعْ نِدَائِي, and if I do nida to you, listen to me. And if I do najwa to you, or if I do munajat to you, then turn towards me. Then turn towards me. So this is where the Imam starts getting into this munajat. This munajat. And basically, the difference over here between, it sounds very similar, but the difference is, dua is something that maybe the best translation is to call out to someone. Right? So dua is calling out. So what the Imam alayhi salam is saying, when I call out to you, listen to me, O Allah. And then the next word, nida. Nida, what the scholars have said is nida is something that's a louder call. It's a louder call. It's not just a normal voice. It's calling out either with a loud voice or from afar. Or from afar. So the Imam is saying, whether I call you with a dua or I call you with a nida, listen to me, O Allah. Listen to me. And then the third one he says, but if I do najwa with you, if I do munajat with you, then turn towards me. Turn towards me. We as humans have different states. Right? We have different states of mind. Sometimes we're happy. Sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're calm. Sometimes we're distressed. So depending on how our situation is, depending on what our state is, we might call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. And perhaps what the Imam is trying to say over here is, no matter what state I am in, no matter what state I am in, O Allah, but if I call out to you, do not ignore me, turn towards me. There's a beautiful hadith that is narrated, and basically it's saying that Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, what he's saying is, "Anta minni fa unajik, am ba'id fa unadik." O Allah, are you close to me that I do najwa towards you, that I do munajat with you, or are you far away from me that I have to call out to you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa awhad Allahu ta'ala ilay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his wahi to him. Ya Musa, ana jalisun man dhakarani. Whoever remembers me, O Musa, it's as if I'm sitting right there with them. I'm so close to you. I'm always there with you. In another hadith where he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is talking to Prophet Isa alayhi wa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi wasalam. He's saying, so he's talking out to Prophet Isa, right? And he says, Ya Isa, adhilla li qalbak. O Isa, whenever you come to me, humble your heart towards me. Humble your heart. Adhilla li qalbak. Wa'adhir dhikri. And increase my remembrance. Increase my remembrance. Fil khalawat. In seclusion. In seclusion. So perhaps pointing towards that munajat kind of. We'll talk more about it later on, inshallah. And this is what I wanted to talk about. وَإِعْلَمْ أَنَّ سُرُورِي. And know that, O Isa. Remember, this is one of the greatest of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Allah talking to him, revealing to him. وَإِعْلَمْ. And know, أَنَّ سُرُورِي. That my happiness is in what? أَنْ تُبَسْبِسَ إِلَيْ. My happiness is that Isa, تُبَسْبِسَ إِلَيْ. That you come to me. And I'll explain that word. وَكُنْ فِي ذَلِكَ حَيًّا وَلَا تُكُنْ مَيِّتًا. The scholars have said that this تُبَسْبِسَ إِلَيْ, what it means is come to me. And this is how the scholars have explained it. Come to me like how a dog comes to his master. When the dog puts his forearms and sits in front of his master and wags his tail, whether it's out of fear or whether it's out of humbleness and humility towards the master. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing that to one of his greatest prophets. That come to me in that way. Come to me in that way. So what we understand from this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really is looking forward to us coming towards him. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to come there with our entire hearts and our attention, to come towards him. The munajat starts by the lines that we just read. So over here, basically, what Amir al-Mu'mineen is starting off the munajat with is he's begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his attention. He's begging him for his attention. He's trying to show his love towards the master and trying to attract the master's attention. So he's humbling himself, he's going towards his master, begging his master, hoping for his master's attention as well. If a person really wants a permanent relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the secret to it. This is the secret to it, that it needs to be with desperation, it needs to be with love. So it's not like how some of us at least have this, right? The 15th of Sha'ban came by. We went, we read the du'as, we did the amal, and 16th of Sha'ban, it's as if nothing happened. A new day, a new life. There is no continuous relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Laylatul Qadr comes. We go and we pray all night to Allah. And the next day, it's as if we barely know him. If someone wants to be able to reach that attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where every time he says, wasma du'a'i idha da'awtik, oh Allah, to listen to him, Allah will be there. As he said in the hadith, that I'm sitting with the people who remember me. And this remembrance does not have to be a verbalized remembrance. It doesn't have to be something that's always verbalized. The true and the highest state of remembrance is within the heart. It's when they go and recite Dua Josh and Kabir, meaning Dua. So the more chances of me to connect with the various aspects of Allah and His existence. But because I have no attention towards it, because I have no contemplation towards it, I'm not able to build that relationship with Allah. That's why there is no desperation when I'm reading Dua Josh and Kabir. Sometimes, at least for some of us. There is no love over there. Yes, it sounds good. But is that relationship being built or not? So when we're asking Allah to look towards us, to listen to us, it's not as if, you know, if one of your friends got upset with you and you would say, please listen to me, please listen to me. And maybe they feel bad and maybe their heart softens and there's a change in their state and change in their feeling and they look towards you. That is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. There is no change in the most perfect being. Right? And I don't want to get into that, but this also points towards that understanding of Allah and understanding of His attributes and understanding of His reality. So this is one of the implications where if we don't understand Him correctly or if we have an incomplete understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would show in places like this, where we think that He was turned away from me and then because I was crying towards Him, now He feels bad for me and He turns towards me. That is not how He works. Rather, what happens is the more I humble myself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more my own existential reality is elevated and I become more able and my ability and my capability to be able to understand and manifest that hearing, all hearing attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I become more accepting of that. And that is what really is the thing that that changes. It's me, myself. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change like that. There's, based on this, what we understand is the more a person calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more a person begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the higher their understanding of Him, the higher their ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Explicitly stated in the Quran that I don't open up the Quran and I don't read the Quran. Otherwise, it's explicitly stated in this book of guidance for you and I. Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you and I that listen, O people, ya ayyuhan nas, you're fuqara. You don't have anything. You're completely dependent on me. You're a faqir compared to me. You're completely dependent on me. Don't ever try to act like you're independent. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. And it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's independent. But I don't understand that reality. I don't practice that reality. I don't implement that reality in my life. That's why I don't go to Allah begging Him. I don't go to Allah crying to Him. Why is it that we hear that our A'imma alayhimu salam, the Holy Prophet, our great scholars even, would wake up in the middle of the night, in the thick of the night, and keep crying and bawling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda, in dua, in munajat? What is it that they have reached that I haven't understood? Why do they have that love of Allah in their heart and I don't? One of the basic necessities for that is to be able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to have ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, part of that comes through ubudiyah, part of that comes through submission, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows those blessings upon us. But part of it is going through the classes and the books and the so on and so forth to be able to gain that raw knowledge of Allah, of trying to take that first baby step towards Allah, towards understanding Him. How much of my life am I going to spend without really making an attempt to understand Him? And just a very superficial relationship with Him. That yes, 15 Sha'ban, I go to Him. Laylatul Qadr, I go to Him. 5 times a day, I go to Him. But there still is no relationship. That is what we're longing for, dear brothers and sisters. That is what we're longing for. And that is the reality of dua. the attention towards Allah, the tawajjuh towards Allah. That is what the reality of dua is. It's not necessarily the verbalization. That is not what holds weight in Allah's eyes. It's how attentive am I towards it? How drowned am I in His love? That is what the essence of dua is. Now, as we move on, the love, when we talk about the love that we're talking about, that we are looking to be able to reach a point where we fall in love with Allah, this is something that some scholars, when they try to explain the difference between a dua or a nida or the munajat, this is one of the difference that they point towards. So basically how it's explained is the dua is something that I'm calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I need to have an understanding of Allah to be able to call out to Him. I need to understand His attributes to be able to call out to Him. But they say for the munajat, no. It's a step beyond that. It requires a little more of that head over heels effect. A little more of that completely gone crazy over Him effect. Right? That is what the munajat requires. And the next line where the Imam says, وَأَقْبِلْ عَلَيَّ إِذَا نَجَيْتُكَ, right? So, and turn towards me when I call out to you in the state of najwa, in the state of a munajat. The meaning of this is a little more delicate. It's a little more delicate. When we talk about isma du'ai, or isma nida'i, right? Hear me out. Listen to me. But when it says, وَأَقْبِلْ عَلَيَّ, it means, oh Allah, turn towards me. Give me all of yourself. Devote your complete attention towards me. أَقْبِلْ is complete, facing towards someone, right? As opposed to idbar, which is completely turning away. So أَقْبِلْ عَلَيَّ over here is more than just hearing someone out. It's more than just listening to someone. It's completely devoting your attention to them. And that is why it comes with the munajat. Because munajat, the meaning of munajat is that it's more of a whispered conversation, communication. It's a more intimate communication. It's not, if I were to do munajat with my Lord, the third person would not be able to hear me. It would be much more intimate than, for example, a dua that I'm making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a nida, which is even from further away. So this is the level that we're trying to attain. This is the level that we're trying to attain. As the Holy Prophet himself, one of the names that he's called by is Habibullah. He's the lover of Allah. He's the beloved of Allah. Right, Allah loves him. He's the Habib of Allah. And in some places, as we read, La Habiba illa huwa wa ahlu. There is no other Habib. There is no beloved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. But because we are followers of them, because we take them as the role models, that is the path that we want to, inshallah, pursue ourselves. Allama Tabatabai, rahmatullah alayh, has known to have told some of his students, at least. And the way I understood it, that he used to repeat this more often. He's repeated this more than once. Where he used to say, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Mi'raj, and there was a point where the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam was not able to go beyond that. What Allama used to say is, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has expected you, O follower of his, has invited you, O lover of His, to take every single step that He's taken. He's invited you to pursue that journey with Him. And that is perhaps one of the ways where we can explain that, yes, that humans can get to a point where they're beyond the angels, where they're beyond the angels. And that is what you and I were created for. And one of the blessings that we've been given to be able to pursue that path, to be able to help us along this journey, is the concept of dua. So it's just a matter of how I benefit from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that if we go towards Him, He will come towards us. In a hadith, hadith Qudsi, which is a hadith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it says, إِذَا تَقَرَّبَ الْعَبْدُ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. If a person, a slave, comes towards me this much, I will come towards them an arm's length. And if they come towards me an arm's length, then I'll come towards them twice that much. And if they walk towards me, I will run towards them. This is the Allah that we're dealing with over here, who's just waiting for you and I to turn to Him. In Surah Furqan, chapter 25, verse 77, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give you any attention, would not pay you any attention, would not give you any importance if it weren't for your dua. So what we understand over here, that it's the humility, the humbleness, the love, the passion, the desperation for Allah. The more we're able to create that within ourselves, inshallah, the more we'll able to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll stop over there for today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inshallah give us the tawfiq to be able to understand these concepts completely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our sins in this holy month, forgive us the sins of our parents. All mu'mineen and mu'minat, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all the mu'mineen from all sicknesses, and especially the virus that's going around. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of this holy month and for the sake of the Holy Prophet who this month belongs to, give us the tawfiq to be able to understand these munajat and inshallah incorporate them in our lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.